Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
They might talk about humor, music, film, books, football, and box sets, exercise, and maybe even food. Trivia and sport, politics and health, sometimes well-being too. On the Life with Brian. On the Life with Brian.
Hello and welcome to Life with Brian. It's Mark here again with Matthew Crist. Hello, Matthew.
Hello, Mark. Hello, everybody.
And of course, I've got Brian McClare with me. How are you doing, Brian?
Hello, Mark. Hello, Matthew. I am in the fine condition. Not as good as our guest, but good condition.
Yeah. Well, speaking of our special guest, this time we are joined by Manchester music royalty and its bass player for the Stone Roses and Primal Scream. It's none other than Manny. Manny, how are you?
Thank you. Good to be here, mate. Yeah.
Brian, what's been on your mind or what you've been up to since we were together last?
I was reading in The Guardian an article by some writers and some musicians who was asked to choose the favourite book about music, and one that I'm going to buy that struck me was is called Hello Sausages, which is by Jemima Dewery, who's the daughter of Ian Dewery. So, and it's most of his lyrics most of his lyrics in book form. That led me to a nice little connection for me, in that in 1978, at the age of 14, with my first of my pocket money, I ventured to the local establishment. We could purchase some records. I'm not sure if it was Woolworths or W.H. Smith's. Waited for the punks and rockers to clear out of the way so I could have a quick look at the singles. And I bought two singles, one of which I'm going to say it was my first single, and that was Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick by Ian Dewery. But it wasn't that I was really buying it for. I was buying it for the B-side, and I think that this applies to all four of us. And the B-side. Does anybody know what the B-side is?
Razzle in my pocket.
It's the B-side is There Ain't Half Been Some Clever Bastards. Oh. That's the B-side. So, Manny, can you remember?
I can remember the first record.
Hold on, I'll just give one more thing. It cost me 79 pence.
Very good. Back in the day.
You've been considerably older than me, of course. We probably bought something by Sweet or Slade or T-Rex or something like that.
It was actually the Gin Genie or Pajama Rama by Rocks Music and Bowie, you know, about the same time, 1972-ish. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Old.
What about you, Matthew? What's your first single that you bought?
But this is going to say, this says a lot about my life. The first single I bought was the theme tune to the 1986 Mexico World Cup, Aztec Gold. So, yeah, once a geek, always a geek. And in fact, I'm still doing this today. Sort of, I think that says a lot about my, my life, doesn't it?
Wasn't that written by the guy who also originally wrote God Gave Rock and Roll to You?
Yeah, was it not Rod Argent or somebody like that? Or
yeah, I think that's him, yeah. That's right.
Because he did, I think he did, he definitely did the Italy 90 World Cup theme tune as right. well. So he obviously had a bit of a penchant for World Cup theme tunes. So I hope my £1.99, you know, went into his coffers. You know, I was obviously inflation. It was a little bit more than what Brian had paid with his 79p, although he's probably still paying that off in instalments, knowing Brian. But what about you?
Well, you know that my music history is somewhat checkered. And before I got into the likes of the Stone Roses and Oasis and all these other bands in the late 80s and 90s, you know that my first gig was Wet, Wet, Wet. My first single when I was, don't laugh, Manny. My first single when I was 8 years old was Uptown Girl by Billy Joel. I've no idea what it cost, but I begged my mother to take me to Woolworths and buy it. So, you know, it's a classic pop track, isn't it? That's my defence.
Yeah, no complaints with that. Brian's laughing. I mean, anything to add to that, Brian?
I'll say that Mark laugh at my 20 be polite and not laugh.
If that's your defence, mate, you're banged up, man.
Manny, you're noted for in the music business as probably one of the most fervent football fans, and your adoration in particular for Manchester United and also for Celtic. I don't think there's so many people are aware of that kind of thing, because you have always described yourself as an Irish Mike. So your first game, your best game, and the last game you were fortunate enough to attend?
Right, I can remember the first game I ever went to was actually a reserve match with my dad. So we're about 5 or 6. Saw Georgie play. Best game I've ever been to, for numerous reasons, would be the 2-minute hammering of Bayern Munich in Barcelona that night. Fucking unbelievable, man. And the last game I went to was probably quite some time ago, because since my two Waynes have come, I've not really had much football time. The last game I did go to, I'll tell you now, Ajax UEFA Cup final, Stockholm.
Yeah, that was good as well.
Yep.
That was a good event. Yeah, I was thoroughly enjoyed.
And tomorrow I'm going to miss my first ever final, Brian, in my lifetime, because of this bloody pandemic, man, you know.
Oh, you know, of course you can't go to the game, man. Yeah. But so you would be going to Gdansk if it was in normal circumstances?
Well, I would be going because of Letwell answer anyway, man. I'm going to have a pint and say goodbye to the dead, and say hello to the Solidarność, birth of the movement, you know.
Yeah.
Talking to your love of the Reds, Manny, I mean, who was it that, you know, when you first got into football, who were your idols growing up? You know, I mean, obviously before Brian signed for United, this is, I mean, you mentioned Best there, but was it that era? Was it the sort of late 60s, early 70s?
That's when I was first real conscious of them. I'd a little story for you there now. We come from a bunch of fanatical United people, by family, so much so that my father wanted to call me Matthew Busby Mountfield, man. I mean, my mum had to put the kibosh right on that, you know. But my era would have been the Tommy Docherty era, and I used to love Gordon Hill and Steve Copeland, that wing play, you know, and Pancho Pearson banging them in. So that's when I used to go. I used to get the one bus from near me, and it cost 2p on the bus. And I used to take my little brother down, he's 3 years younger than me, and sit him on the railings at the front with his wagon wheel and his Kia, and stand on the Stretford just there behind the barricades there, watching Tommy Dock's boys, you know.
Yeah,
the likes of Gordon McQueen and what have you, you know, who's subsequently become a bit of a friend, and good, happy days, you know.
Yeah. We're talking of friends, being friends with United legends. I mean, how did you two get to know each other? How did you get to know Chalky?
I don't know. Chalky might have been through Pete Boyle, possibly, or I used to see him at airports, various airports in states of inebriation when he was off away with the kids. I was off away on the lash with the fans, you know, and I always knew about Brian's love for music, and he's a good trade unionist lad as well, so that puts him right into my demographic of people who are thinking, hunky dory, you know.
Brian, can you remember this relationship blossoming?
I remember a great event in that when Manny was in the Scream, and we met in the before the gig in the Palace Hotel. Me and you, Imelda was there. There was a few other people, and it was quite. It was, I think, it was the first time I've ever met any musician before the gig. You know, which is kind of strange because you usually think it's the same, do the same thing as we did. That you could have totally concentrated on the game and everything was kept to arm's length. You know, that you've got to tone to work. But what the great thing about that is that somebody had one of your mates had brought along the NME. And there was a review in that of the Primal Scream gig, I think at Barrowlands, a few nights before. And you got a wonderful review in it about the Primal Scream. But you were the one that was the driving force behind it, and you were the one that made this such a wonderful gig. And at which point you said, I have no recollection of that gig whatsoever. Because I think it might have been in the Saracen's Head across the road from it before, having a couple of lagers, you know. So what I loved about that was the ability to perform, like that critic had said, amazingly well. And then after having a couple of drinks, and then we were in another thing as well. We were in the dressing room beforehand, also, and we kind of got ushered out when there were certain things that were happening in there. And then we were standing behind you. So it was in the Ritz, and we were standing up behind, which was an incredible kind of view. And then later on, I remember, I can't say it was a conversation, but that me and Bez were standing face-to-face, clearly quite pleased to be in each other's company. I have no idea what he was saying, and I'm quite confident that he had no idea what I was saying either, at which point I thought, it's time to go home. So that's my first recollection.
The international language of Bevy, Brian, yeah?
Involved, yeah.
So with this...
See, that was a prerequisite with meeting up with people and quaffing as much as you could before going on stage with them. You know, there's been certain gigs in the banners where I could not bloody stand up, and I'd been in Baird's bar next door with old Sammy. I'd made fire and whiskey into me. I couldn't stand, man. My first gig in Glasgow with this claim, and it was being recorded for some BBC radio show. So subsequently, I was that crap. I had to go back to the BBC studios and fucking re-record it on my own with all the lads laughing at me through the bloody glass as I had to play along with the backing track that they'd recorded. Shame on me.
So was this friendship you had, did this develop after you'd finished playing, Brian, or was when you were
still playing? Then that would be, no, I was still playing then. Yeah. It wasn't 2 days before the game, and the Primal Scream gig, I was still a player, yeah. Yeah. It was the end of my career, but it was...
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, your music, Manny, you know, with the Roses, are sort of synonymous with United fans in that sort of early 90s, late 80s, early 90s era, you know, I mean, that must have been a bit of a kick for you, you know, to be such a big Red, and your music's almost like a soundtrack to a lot of United fans' lives, isn't it?
Do you know, the good thing of it is every time the team comes out, they come out to This Is The One, which is, and I always think in my mind, well, there's another 37.5p going into Squire and Brown's pockets, man. But it's a nice tie-in, you know, for an absolutely manic United fan to have that, and also then to hear them singing "I Want to Be Edward" on the terraces at Celtic as well is another very proud moment.
The United one is down to me, so that 37.5p that both of them got, they owe me down to that, because we used to come out to Tina Turner, didn't they?
Yes, Simply the Best.
I hate that song. Just yeah. No, so we were looking to change it, and the Fergie wanted something like a song by Matt Monro or one of the other crooners, and you can't be coming out to, you know, something like that from Frank Sinatra or Matt Monro. But he was really serious. He wasn't taking the piss. He was serious, and I think I just said to the listen, this is a perfect song for us to come out to. This Is The One, and that's been the same for all that period of time. So that's probably my best, the best thing that I've ever achieved in my career.
So once again, Fergie listens to McClare, right? Wouldn't be the
He didn't listen to me. I just said, you know, the manager said it was all right, assuming that by the time that he found out that where it come from, it would all be set, you know. So by the time he found out, it was already being played a few times, and it clearly had gone down well with the supporters and the players were inspired by it. So I think it made the right choice.
Manny, could we be about to see another Stone Roses reunion? I say that because I read that you were asked once, when would the band get back together? And you said that would be when Manchester City won the Champions League. Well, you might have to make good on that soon enough.
Ah, mate. I don't see it, mate. Listen, I'll have my Chelsea blue on Saturday night. I don't want them mofos getting their sticky mitts on our trophy, man. No way.
Well, is that just purely because you don't want to do the reunion or because you don't want to win the trophy? Oh, or both?
I'm always up for playing music, but if City win that cup, I'm afraid I'm off to Papua New Guinea with Gary Neville, man. I'm going to open a bar.
Well, I read that it's only Rennie from the Roses who's a City fan, but obviously there's yourself, and I read that Ian Brown's a Red, but he reckoned he'd never met a more United mad fan than yourself. So amongst the Stone Roses and the Primal Scream and any other famous musicians that you've come across, is there anybody that you think has got an even bigger interest in football than yourself?
Well, no, Gallagher seems to be properly piled up with Pep at the minute, and, you know, he's in the dressing rooms and stuff like that, and he's buzzing with that. You know, City have been so rubbish for so many years, and much as I hate them with a passion, you can't begrudge the fact that they're a wonderful team and he's a great manager. And, you know, it's not, they've been funded and you can't say they bought it because there's been a plan in place there. And I think they've rigidly stuck to it. They've got the people they want. The business is good behind the scenes. And I've half my mates are blue. Manchester, Brian will tell you, Manchester's very half and half, depending on area. And you sort of get sick of 40 years of rubbing your mates' noses in it, you know. So I don't begrudge them a little bit of success, but I just don't want them to have this trophy, you know.
I think that can be supported by everybody that's a Red, yeah, and maybe seven other that support other teams as well, yeah. So I don't particularly want Chelsea to win it either. So that was in the semi-finals, I was my loyalties were with both teams that they were playing against. So lesser of the two, because that Chelsea have already had their hands on the mitts on the trophies, yeah. Manny said that'll be the least of the two.
You mentioned being mates with Blues, Manny. I mean, is there any part of you that kind of has any sympathy, you know, haven't we? Obviously, when United were going through that brilliant spell in the 90s, you know, they were pretty much at the bottom end of the, you know, the spectrum. I mean, do you have any sympathy with your mates that now might be going through this sort of glory period, or do you just completely think
I
now?
I didn't have any sympathy for them whatsoever. I can remember the last game of the season once, and Noel Gallagher's, one of his busy mates, Smithy, used to live in my gaff, and I've come back, I think we'd done some gig with the Scream, and I've come back, it's the last game of the season when City needed to win but had other teams to do stuff to stop them going down into the second division, the old second division. Anyhow, I've come back and I've seen Smithy's face, he's just about on the verge of tears. I said, what's happened? How'd you go on? I said, we won something like 6-1 or something. I went, yeah, nice one. He said, no, but everyone else won as well, we're down. I just absolutely wet my pants. Don't want a dry seat in the house.
City have got form for that the last game of the season. Do you remember that 96 season when the day United won the league up at Middlesbrough? And you were probably playing in that, Brian. And then City had Liverpool at home and thought that a draw would be enough to keep them up. And it wouldn't. It ended up not being enough. And they got relegated that day. So, yeah, there's always those sort of famous calamitous collapses for City fans.
Is that not the day when Oasis played at Main Road? Because that seems to ring a bell with me, because we was absolutely shit-faced drunk at the Oasis gig. And I can remember, I think the lift doors opening somewhere, and I think it was Pally and Lee Sharp and Kingsley come spilling out on this lift, and I think I was stood there urinating on the City carpet with the logo on it, which gives him a big laugh about. He's like, oh, yeah, man, he's had to get here. Welcome to Manchester, boys. You can see I'm no blue. I don't I'd have to check up on the facts on that, but that just...
Forget the facts about the thing. The story about you peeing on the cap has got to be true. That's what matters.
I definitely did that. It needed washing anyway. It's a bit dusty. There'd not be much footfall on it. So.
When you were younger, Manny, you played a bit of football. What position did you play?
I was a right winger.
Right winger. And did you play with anybody that ever became or play with or against anybody that did anything in life at all apart from yourself?
No, there was a lad called Darren McDonough who ended up playing City Youth. He was on the rival team from the area.
Played for Luton.
Darren McFootballer. He ended up at Luton, but he went via Newcastle. Oldham, he was a legend at Oldham Athletic.
He was a good player.
And I think it was probably... I remember there was once a Granada TV programme about him and Mickey Phelan coming up when they were probably both the same, similar age. And yeah, he was the only one who ever really was dedicated enough to follow it through with his talent. You know, most other people who were great football players just ended up drifting off into robbing banks or knocking nefarious substances out like everyone else, you know.
What about any other... Anybody else you played with or against that did anything in life?
Lots of other people have become very notorious blackers and stuff like that. Yeah. You know. But it's just a lot of kids who have made it into the bands, like Clint Boone and all that was a good mate. I used to play in pub bands with him years ago. And, you know, there's been a lot of success from the scheme gangs, and they've all done very well in what they've chosen to do, you know, because they're quite single-minded about what they're chasing, you know, whether it be as an artist or muso or what.
Did you not play with Liam Gallagher or Noel Gallagher? Did you not play with one of them as well?
I've done bits of stuff and all, just messing around with them.
Football? Did you not play football with him? No.
I think Noel's got three left feet. He could kick it down.
Because Liam played at Croke Park, didn't he, in the GA?
Actually, I did play in a charity game with Liam. Was a right goal angle. He was a good goal poacher, and he scored a few. Me and Quigsy were setting him up. We took the midfield by the scruff of the neck. But it's quite useful, you know.
What's your favourite instrument? The bass guitar or the tambourine?
It's got to be the bass. I can blow into that and get a note out of it. I can't do that with a tambourine, man.
You have played tambourine.
I played tambourine with a few people have dragged me up. Weller, for example, always says, "Oh, you little bastard, get something going with this." And so I've done that a few times. I've probably done a bit with you at your leaving day at United dinner. Or you might have even had me up singing there.
Yeah, well, that was Sit Down by James. We were doing a bit of that.
It would. I generally clear the pub when I open my gob to bash a tune out.
You've also, I don't know if this is right or not, because I'm always suspicious of things about that I see you on the Tinterweb. But is it true you've got a poncho on and a passion for Aras or darts, as it's known?
Do you know what?
I don't mean the music.
I don't know where that's coming from. But I always have a wry chuckle on that one because I think it's one of my red herrings I just threw out.
Yeah, but you've chosen a song to come out to.
Oh, I don't remember that. I was probably just having someone bang at it, Brian, there, I think.
You said the song you chose, right, to come out to when they come out now in the fanfare. I quite enjoy that when I did darts, when there was people, there was a crowd and all that. I've never been, but I think it would be an excellent experience. And you chose Never Had Nothing.
Oh, by the Angelic Upstarts.
Right, yeah. That'd
be on my funeral tape, Brian.
Right. Now, well, I was listening to Ellie. It's very good. With that in mind, what I thought about for a question for all of us would be, what would be your darts name? Now, you can't have Manny because a lot of them are just called, like, the shortened versions of their own name. One that I particularly liked was one of them's called Frosty the Throw Man. Right? So while you're having a little think about what your name is going, I'll tell you what mine would be, right? Mine would be Monster. And the reason why it would be Monster is that I was in the players' lounge as when I was playing, and after the game against Aston Villa at Old Trafford, Nigel Kennedy came into the players' lounge, and nobody knew who he was apart from me. Right? Everybody else thought he was just some kind of freak with his hair and his clobber.
right? And he came right over to me and his southern accent and just pointed to me and went, "Monster Striker." So my dad's name would be Monster.
That fits with that beard as well, man.
Like the honey monster at the minute.
That's it, trimmed as well.
No, that's Steve Bruce.
So Matt, have you got a dart name there, or even a tune maybe you might want to come on to?
Well, I was gonna pinch the pool name that you gave me in
Minnesota, yeah.
In America, famously known as Minnesota now, after Brian accused me of hustling him on the pool table in Houston, even though it was the other way around. I mean, I can't even remember where Minnesota came from.
You mean, where does it come from?
It
comes from the hustle.
Yeah, so that's why you call me that. So, yeah. So
Minnesota fats, there is fat.
Yeah, so well, I obviously became Minnesota Slim. So I'm probably because I play darts the same way as I do pool or snooker, I'm going to call myself Minnesota Matthew Crist.
There you go. Excellent. You got one, Mark?
Well, I've got two. I'm going to go for the arrow from Jarrow, which would require me moving 10 miles down the road. Or because I've got a very closely cropped haircut. Yeah, it could be. My other one, because of the closely cropped hair, what remains of it, what about stubble top?
Oh, superb. Are you sure you didn't tip him off with this, Brian, and tell him last night that we were playing this game? Because that's two great answers for someone that's had 30 seconds to think about this.
You got to duck and weave. Think on your feet.
Yeah.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Manny, how did you feel when you found out there was as going to be a sports shoe by a major German manufacturer named after you, or have your moniker on the side? Was it something that when you were like 13 or 14 you dreamt upon when you were wearing your Sambas?
I've always been an Adidas boy, Brian, and Gary, who does the special thing at Adidas, he says, "Oh yeah, I've done an Ian Brown one." I said, "Well, if you used to wear Adidas, what have you got, a pair of Doc Martens with three stripes sewn on them there?" So it's done this like a walking shoe, stroke trainer, and they're all right, you know. I've got them boxed up and I'll save them for the kids when they're old enough. So this is when your dad was worth something. He had a shoe named after him. What kind of an epitaph is that, man?
Is there never a Puma McLaren manufacturer's table, Brian? Being a Puma man as you were, I mean, they were never going to name a boot after you, no?
No.
Well, if they had been, I'd have obviously been the first in the queue to buy it had there been, but probably just as well there wasn't.
The man needs no shoe naming after him. He's good at sticking the ball in there. That's good. That's good enough to naming anything that. But
yeah,
you wear these shoes then, these E specials.
Who, me?
No. Yeah, you. Yeah. Do you wear them? These E specials.
The E. Yeah, that would be my darts name probably. The Minister of Ecstasy. I need to call my leg would fall off.
They just did one thing about your other. You might have been making this up as well, but I've seen a picture of you about angling or fishing.
Oh, love it. Love the fishing, man.
Right, okay, so what I want to know what your favourite bait is for catching rainbow trout, and are you going to take me fishing? Because I've got a friend who's got a trout pond in Moberly.
Oh, yeah, Clay Lane.
Yeah.
I know it. Do you know what? At rainbow trout, you'd use a nice orange blob or a damsel. I'd fish a damsel on that, you know.
Not maggots.
No, I like a bit of fluff chucking these days, Brian. I've moved into the echelons of the genteel set, you know, a bit of fly fishing now.
Oh, well, you can't do fly fishing on a trout pond.
So I do it anywhere, man. You can catch all sorts on it. I quite enjoy getting out and just emptying your head and just getting communing with nature, Brian. It's great.
I've never been fishing, man, you know, right. so you'll take me fishing.
It's a good excuse to just go to the pub after as well, usually, but...
I thought that's why you play golf.
Have you started taking up all those other things to participate in so you can go, yeah, there's any, I'm going fishing. You have actually started playing darts, haven't you, now?
Well, there's a dartboard in the room of most pubs, but
yeah.
I'm like Mr. Magoo, Brian. I couldn't hit the board from 2 inches away, man. That's my eyesight's shocking.
Even with those small glasses you got on.
Hey, Buddy Ollie's on, man, yeah.
You don't have to wear it. You're not going to start wearing them on stage now, are you?
Oh, no.
Your image to think about, haven't you?
Yeah, well, listen, I don't know. I don't see me being on stage anytime soon, to be fair. But you never know.
I saw you come out with a wonderful little phrase back in the day when somebody asked you about when this would be the Roses time, when Manchester when Madchester, whatever you want to call it, ended at this particular moment. And the interviewer was saying it would, well, if it was a fad, it only lasted a couple of days. And you and your usually humorous and thoughtful way said, first of all, well, you didn't give a shit about that because clearly you'd enjoyed that moment up to then, and if it had to end, then you go and do something else. But what you described as you would go on to do was ambient skiffle.
Well, yeah, I can't say that catching on, Brian, either.
Oh, I was wondering if that's what you were playing with Freebase.
I was playing to fill Hucky's wallet up, probably, more than likely, but no, that was... See, that was just when you're left with a bit of time on your hands and you're bored and your missus wants you to just go to kick on and do something, for Christ's sake. So we was all at a loose end, me, him and Rocky, so we just decided to hook up a few times and just bash a few things down, and then Hucky constructed it into a kind of LP. It was just like, well, I didn't see that coming. He was only having a grin. Well, that was good for the laugh anyways, you know, got us out of the house.
Pretty unique, isn't it, to have three bass players. Or three so famous bass players.
That was just quite strange, you know. And then it became two because Rocky moved to New York, and then it became one because I just couldn't be arsed and the scream started work again and I left Ducky with it. But that was good for the grin. Yeah, so I always, every time I see Peter Ducky, I always says, how's the world's second bass player going on? And I always say, I don't know, Pete, how are you? You know, there's a nice bit of rivalry there between us all, man.
Yeah, well, I was fortunate enough to be at that event you had in the Salford Labs Club a few years ago when you were actually interviewing Hucky, really. Yeah, I mean, you were supposed to be answering some questions, but you sat on the fence quite a lot. Have you probably still got those splinters in your arse from not answering any of those questions?
I didn't want to embarrass him in front of the world, you know.
Yeah, but he was very good and very open with the answers he gave to the well-constructed sentences. And questions that you had for him. I thought that was a terrific night, you know, and for a good cause as well. So,
I've grown up as a fan of Joy Division and New Order, so it's an honour to have him as a friend as well, you know. He's a lovely fella, Pete, and you've got to have nothing but admiration for what he's done, you know. He's got his own thing. It's, you know, no one else does it like him, you know. Timmy Two String, I call him, because he only plays two of them, doesn't he? He's got loads of dust on him.
Life with Brian. Life with Brian. Life with Brian.
Right, Chucky, you're the music guru of this podcast, and seeing as though we have an icon of British music on the show, we've come up with one of our little quizzes for you, which we're calling The Hardest Thing in the World. Obviously, you can see what I did there. Manny famously plays bass for the Stone Roses and Primal Scream, two bands you like. But you have to tell us which one wrote the following lyrics, and there will be a bonus point if you can name the song. There's going to be five songs, and Manny, you can join in if you want to. We'll be expecting top marks. So, first up, here it is. As I stare, an oil wheel comes sailing by, and I feel like growing fins and falling in with the bricks, the bikes, the rusty tin. Yeah, is that the Roses or Primal Scream, Brian?
I'll go for the Roses. I'll go for the Roses.
The Roses, yeah, very good. Any idea what the song is?
No.
So it was just a lucky guess then, basically, wasn't it? Again.
Yeah.
One second. More a practice, the luckier I get.
Yeah, yeah, just like the last two quizzes we've done there. Yeah.
Manny, put us out of our misery.
Yeah, no, it's That's Music Paradise All Day Long, that, isn't it? One of my favourite Roses tunes.
Yeah, it is, spot on. Great lyric, that.
Okay, Matthew? Well, we'll give Brian the benefit of the doubt, so that's one out of one. So the second lyric.
Can you stop now? No. I have my second.
No. Where are the top of your game? Shocker.
Can't see anybody.
So the second lyric.
Not recording.
Hang on. So the second lyric, and for as far as I can see, 10 twisted grills grin back at me. Do you want me to finish?
Seven story love song or something like that. 12 story love song. Love song, story love song.
So you say, yeah, so you're saying Stone Roses, yeah, which you're right on, and you're saying the name of the song is?
Seven story, eight story love song.
Nice. Well, you see, maybe you should have let me finish the quote, but you're wrong. Manny, do you want to correct him?
Yeah, that's Made of Stone.
All right, you can redeem yourself.
A record playing in your house, Manny.
Hey, what?
You got a record playing in your house.
Oh, mate, I've got a vinyl collection that you wouldn't believe. I've got a lot here, man. Yeah, I always play the tunes.
Excellent. Love to hear that.
Yeah.
I know you're a DJ. I don't know if you're a record player, though.
Oh, man, no, I have packages coming from Discogs every day or two, you know.
Excellent. You've got a pretty healthy record collection, Brian, haven't you? How many records have you got stashed away?
Many albums have we got? I don't know.
Hundreds? Thousands?
Yeah, altogether over 1,000, yeah.
Yeah, not quite as many as Pat Nevin then, though.
No, but see, Pat's friendly with people in the music industry. Like, it's like his best mate is the manager who runs a label, so he gets it all for nout. I've got to pay for it, you know. I've got to do some grafting, you know. Yeah. And some cash to go up. Nowadays, vinyl is just ridiculously expensive. I liked it a few years ago before the charity shops clocked on to how much vinyl could be worth. I used to get some bargains. And then I think it might have been in Oxfam were the first shop to get someone somebody told Oxfam or the somebody was working said, by the way, you're letting these go for very little money. These are worth a lot. I mean, quite soon that £1 and £2 bargain was as much as 100, £100 not bargain. But it sounds a lot for me still, because I don't know whether it's just because I'm biased, because I first started collecting music on vinyl. I think it sounds better than any other form of, or recorded form, apart from live music. So I've been recently, over the last couple of years, starting to buy a few more albums. It's £30 in it right away compared to my 79 pence for the singles. So.
Have you still got that injury single as part of the collection? Same one, yeah?
Yeah, it's in the picture sleeve, yeah.
Okay, and let's see if you can redeem yourself with this third lyric, Mark, indeed. If you've got...
That wasn't the start. You're just making up the rules as you go.
No, come on. In fairness, you're two out of two. You just...
Well, you make up the rules as you went along.
Pool as well, yeah?
I stuck at Earth and make this all up.
Yeah. Come on then, Mark. Let's have the third one and see if he can guess this one correctly.
Right. It's scratching like a tomcat, got a monkey on my back. I'm going to push and pull and howl like a wolf and drive my Cadillac.
Well, that's Primal Scream, but I can't tell you what the song is.
I can't. Well, you can't give us half an answer. Come on.
No, you just said.
Yeah, that's a guess, but we'll give you that. So that's a guess. So you're actually 3 out of 3.
Yes.
So that's perfect. Well, if you know the song and you know the band, surely you can name us what the song is.
Child, do you know that? Man, you can ask Mary what's the name of the song now. I'm letting Mary participate, being a kind host.
It's Jailbird.
There you go.
Classic.
Okay, number 4. Crazy women mess your head. Wake up drunk and bleeding in some strange bed.
Well, that's Primal Scream.
Yeah, well, you say it so confidently, but I bet you still can't tell us the name of the song.
Okay, all right.
It's only for a bonus point, but you're right.
I'm being nice. I'm being gentlemanly, and I'm allowing my lovely guest, Manny, to answer that for me.
Well, you're right. That's 4 out of 4. Manny, can you name the song?
It's Country Girl All Day Long.
It is Country Girl All Day Long. So to make it a whitewash, Mark, let's do the last one.
Too much to take, some cross to bear. I'm hiding in the trees with a picnic. She's over there.
Stone Roses.
Yes. He's done it again, Matthew. He spawned it again somehow. Yeah.
He's gone to the old alternate answers each time, just like his penalty technique. So, you're obviously not going to give us the name in the song, so we'll turn to our expert, Manny.
It's a joint effort.
It is a joint effort.
Manny will tell you. Teamwork.
That's Love Spreads, man.
It is, yeah. Classic.
Fair play. You both got that right.
But that's kind of poignant because there's not enough love for you two getting spread at all.
Manny, before we move on, I just wanted to know, have you got a favourite lyric from any of the stuff that you've been involved in recording?
Well, this is the ones obviously up there because United come out to it. Mersey Paradise was always one of my absolute stonking favourites of the Roses. And The Scream have had so many wonderful things, but remember they had we'd done a single called Sometimes I Feel So Lonely, and it was like a real slow ballad. And someone said Gordon Strachan used to walk around Selling Park singing it on his own, man. So I used to think that used to be a little grin, you know.
And what about, again, you've played so many of your big hits, you know, for 25, 30 years, both bands. Is there any, you don't have to name them specifically, but are there any songs you think, I don't really want to play that one again. I'm because it's been so popular and you hear it all the time. People talk about it to you. Do you ever think I never want to hear that song again, or I could leave that song alone for a while when we're touring?
Yes, there's lots of them. You know, I suppose as a musician, you never can be ultra 100% happy with what you've done. Very rare that happens. You know, you get into the realms of smugness then. You know, and no one likes a smug bastard, do they? But the songs, particularly on The Second Coming, which I don't care if I don't trip over them and bang my head on them on the street, you know, they shall remain nameless for fear of insulting anybody. But there's some howlers out there. Everyone's done them, you know. Like footballers have howling games. Musicians have howling games when it goes in the studio sometimes, you know.
Yeah, I always wondered with the Rolling Stones, for example, do you think they ever just say to themselves, "There's, you know, we never have to play Satisfaction ever again," but you know, they've been doing these songs for 60, 70 years near enough, and you know, you wonder just, I don't know how they can just keep going doing that.
It's called money, dear boy.
Oh.
That's how
someone once said
Mick Jagger dropped 10 pence once, and when he bent down to pick it up, it hit him on the back of his fucking head, you know. So he loves his cash.
McClare's mailbag. Well, we're going to kick off the mailbag this time with a question from someone familiar, Matthew.
Yeah, indeed we do. It's another McClare on the show, and it's Liam McClare, someone we all know from doing the fabulous music for the show.
Can't be asking you a question.
No, he's not asking you a question. Well, not yet, anyway. He's asking Manny, actually. He says, does Manny remember taking away the two people who were watching me at the Blue Cat Cafe open mic as they joined him for a cigarette during my set, leaving me to play to an empty room?
I do remember it, Liam. Sorry about that one, man. I owe you a beer for that. Yeah, that was my little hangout, the Blue Cat, just around the corner from where I live. And was always good to just go and see local kids getting up, doing a bit of live thing and all that. Oh, Liam's good at it, man. He's good.
Fortunately, he wasn't completely and utterly devastated and scarred by that event, Manny, didn't he?
I can never bear
it. You and two friends have left to disappear out and go, this is shit, man. Let's go for a fag, you know?
I wonder what it was. I was checking out to smoke as well, but who knows? No comment.
Yeah, like Brian says, it obviously didn't do him too much. It's all character building, isn't it?
When you play it with two men and a dog, and two of them and the dog have all got in on the guest list and there's no money being earned, then you know about sufferance, man.
So, Andrew McCarron, he asked a topical one, and this one is for you, Brian. He says, what's it like to be picked for Scotland for a European Championship squad? And why were you given the number 6 squad number? And I think he's referring to, obviously, the Euro 92 Championships in Sweden.
I think I was really pleased to be involved in that championship, particularly because I'd missed out on the major championship before, which was the Italia 90 that Scotland qualified for. And I thought that, being when I got left out from that, I didn't think I would represent Scotland ever again. But clearly that worked out quite well. And it was great to be involved in the great tournament. I think that Scotland did very well, and I'm hoping that gets replicated in the next couple of weeks. Number 6, I'm not sure. I think that Andy Roxburgh, who's the manager, had always had some quaint ideas at times about what you would do with football. And I think that rather than upset people, I think it was the time of, it would have been, because there were squad numbers then. So rather than have a fight over particular numbers, because people would have because they came from lots of different clubs, would have their own shirt number that they would probably like to choose. I think he picked on age. So I think that's, apart from the goalkeepers, I think he picked on all the other numbers were based on what your date of birth was.
So you were the 6th oldest player in that squad, is that?
I think, yeah. Yes, I think so. There was something along those lines anyway, but I was never, numbers for me were never an issue at all. You know, just happy that, well, when I first started, I was happy to be in from 2 to 11. That's all that mattered.
But you say that, though. I mean, I think off the top of my head, I don't recall you ever wearing anything other than the 9 at United. That's it, you were a substitute. So, I mean, that's some...
Oh, I was 13.
Well, yeah, but in the days before the squad.
And at Celtic, though, you didn't have that. I didn't, when I played, it was...
I've seen you playing for Celtic with the 7, I think. Yeah, it was on your shorts, wasn't it?
But I also played 11, but in those 4 years, 11 was, I think, nearly always Tommy Burns, I think. But I don't think I was ever played 9. Don't recall ever playing 9, but it didn't matter. I just wanted to be on the pitch from the start of the game, and I wanted to be on the pitch at the end of the game as well, so...
Talking about Scotland squad, I think I'd say that you could consider yourself to be a bit unlucky with your Scotland career. I mean, for someone that scored as many goals as you did for Celtic and United, you know, you missed out in Mexico 86, you missed out Italy 90. I mean, is that something that ever crossed your mind, or did you just get on with it and you just, I mean, obviously there was a lot of competition around at the time.
It wasn't 86, I hadn't been involved in the Scotland squad then, but I knew that as a young player that talks. Yeah, quite liked me. So I think that I like to think that there was a possibility I could have gone to Mexico. 90 was, I was disappointed about it, but that's all part and parcel of what football is about. You know, there's only one person you need to please, and that's the coach of a team you're participating in. And I hadn't done enough to merit a place in that squad. I came back in after the World Cup, and as I say, I went to Sweden. So that when I always relate it back to my name, I might have done the same, or in various other people. When I'm wandering about as a 13, 14 year old kid going to school and I'm dreaming about being a football player, and then you get to the situation where I'm now looking back on that, there's no way I got anywhere near those daydreams. If I'm standing here and I go back and tell my 15-year-old self what I'd have done in football, in life and not in, in the things, the experiences I've had and the people I've met, they would have been, you know, mocking you and laughing at you, you know, and yeah, you're very good, you know. So I just wanted to play. And I did much more than any of those dreams. So I'm really pleased with it. And part of the thing is about, is that sometimes you need to get disappointments at times. Let me manage the Liam's question there about that. Sometimes it's something to do with a challenge to you, you know? Say, well, you know, well, I'm going to show you that I'm still playing. And I'm like, you can either accept it and then you fade away or rise to that. And I always felt that I took things on board and I rose to it. And then when you get to in your 50s, you get a lot more casual about it and a lot more philosophical about what happened in your life, you know? And really, when if you look at it in detail, it's down to what you did, you know? It's down to really what you did, what are the impressions, and whether that was just to do with playing or whether that was to do with how I performed or lack of performances in training or whether they felt that I was too mischievous. Then I don't really know what the answer to that was, but I don't hold any, I have no regrets about it because that's just the way that I lived and that's what I did. So I wouldn't have changed any of it to say that I had played in the World Cup. I was pleased to be involved in a group of players that qualified for the World Cup, although I didn't go to the finals. It gave me some more days off. The gaffer was pleased about it because I got a lot more rest. So,
yeah. I just think it's funny because, you know, the man that took Scotland to Mexico 86, obviously Alex Ferguson, after Jock Steen's death, and a year later he signed you as his first signing for United. So you must have been on his radar, but obviously just not at that time.
Well, not for that group of players, no. I mean, if you give me a choice, I would have rather have signed for United than I did than go to Mexico.
Yeah, very well. Wise move.
Yeah, we'll call it a day there. Manny, really, really good of you to drop in and chat with us. It's been a pleasure.
Absolute pleasure to do it, man. Chucky asks and he gets it, man. There you go. That's it.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Have you got any plans for the summer and beyond, you know, touring, et cetera?
No touring. Just hopefully I'll be able to take my kids away somewhere for a couple of weeks, man, that isn't Manchester, you know. We'll see. I'm off for my second vax next week, so see if that frees me up to be able to do anything.
Excellent. Okay. Chucky, Matthew, thanks as always to you too.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure.
And Manny, that was wonderful. Thanks very much for taking the time out to have a wee chat.
Enjoying it. Like I said, I'll talk nonsense on a range of subjects, Brian.
Thanks to you lot for hanging out with us as well. Here's the usual shout out for our Twitter account, which is at Brian McClare Pod. And don't forget to subscribe wherever you're getting your podcasts from. We'll be back again soon, so we'll see you then.
Life with Brian. Talking films or music. Life with Brian. Talking TV and food. Life with Brian. Talking trivia and exercise. Life with Brian. It's different every episode. Life with Brian. Talking politics and football. Life with Brian. It's different every episode. Life with Brian. Life with Brian.
Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.